In Detroit, a Pontiac, Michigan youth was reported dead at the scene of a head-on collision on Grand Avenue this morning. The youth was reported for driving on the wrong side of the boulevard when he struck a delivery truck and was catapulted through the windshield of his car. The driver of the truck is reported to be uninjured. The identities of both men are being withheld by local police. County legislators today are expected to rally to the aid of striking longshoremen in hopes of ending the 9-month deadlock.
Everybody, this is Joe from Podcast Rock City, back off of a little bit of a hiatus, but we're excited to be back. We are in a new place. We're actually recording in a at Lee's house,
the Kiss condo,
the Kiss
lair,
the lair.
That's right. And and with me as always is Lee. Say hello. Goddess of Thunder.
Sorry. Yeah,
okay. Trey,
hey there.
Rick,
what's happening?
Nickelbag Rick.
Thank you.
And we have a new person doing our recording, and that is Dave. Say hello.
Hello. Hello.
Okay, cool. Anyway, so we're going to get right into it since it's been a few weeks that we haven't recorded.
People's been asking, where have we been?
Yes. And
they've been missing us.
And they have been missing us, and it's really cool. We've been getting a really good like reaction to the show, and I'm excited about it. And so we're just going to jump in. All right, well, here we go. All right, so We've been wanting to have a guest onto the show. We've been trying to get a few people. A few people are lined up. Our first ever guest today will be the demon, Dale Torborg.
Yay!
Welcome, Dale.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
It's really cool that you're on the on our show. Everybody knows that I'm a big wrestling fan, and I have been for a long time. And I followed you your career basically. And as a matter of fact, last night I was even watching. I watched a match where you were wrestling Sting, and I was like, man, this was really a good time for wrestling for me, because it was like everything I loved, Kiss and wrestling, you know, all mixed in. Basically, I guess one of the first questions that I would have is how did you get contacted for something like that?
It happened kind of. I had heard rumblings about it, and the way that the story actually happened with the wrestling and Kiss actually started with the WWE. It was Vince McMahon, I guess, when Kiss played the Super Bowl in Miami. I guess Vince was bringing the gene. They were talking and said, hey, we should do this character, we should do the demon. And, you know, it started through that. And apparently what happened is that Gene did some research and found out that the WCW was actually doing better numbers at the time and said, well, let me go, you know, see what they're going to offer me. Well, Eric Bischoff actually offered Gene a better deal, which in the end, somewhat cost Eric his job, which, you know, it's pretty well documented. But he, you know, Eric offered Gene a really lucrative deal to do this thing, and Vince wasn't real happy. Apparently, that's the story that I got, which is part of the reason why the Demon never ended up in the WWE, because of, you know, Gene took the character to WCW and kind of took it right out from under the WWE, which they started with. my part in the whole deal came when I actually got hurt and blew out my knee at the United Center in Chicago, and I was out for 6 months, and I heard some rumblings that Kiss was possibly doing it, and of course, me being a big Kiss fan, and ironically, Lee and I used to train in the same gym and Main Event Fitness in Atlanta.
That's right.
And I noticed Lee's tattoo of Gene.
And my T-shirt.
On her ankle. And so that's how we first started talking about Kiss. And so Lee and I knew each other, you know, before I ever did the Demon character. But I ended up being contacted the day that I got released to wrestle again was the day that Eric Bischoff called me down the office. I just got released. I was at the power plant and got the call and said, you need to go talk to Eric. And so I went down and I talked to Eric, and he said, hey, listen, I know that you just got released a couple days ago. And I said, actually, Eric, I just got released a couple hours ago.
Wow.
He said, okay, yeah, this was on a Friday, and said, hey, you know, we want you do you want to audition for this character? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm a huge Kiss fan. I was a Gene fan. This would be a dream come true.
Dale, you've been a Kiss fan since you were a little kid, right? You've been a Kiss fan since you were a little kid, like me.
Oh, yeah. You know, my brother brought home the Destroyer record when I was about 5 years old, and I was hooked from that point on. So, I mean, literally getting any opportunity to represent Kiss or Gene was just an absolute, you know, dream come true and a thrill to be able to do it. And the way that it ended up, it's kind of a crazy story, is that Eric told me, he said, listen, you're going to have a match tomorrow. You're going to have a match on Sunday for the character. And he goes, I know you just got released and you're kind of rusty, but you gotta, you know, clutch up and do this. So I ended up, this was on a Friday, and then the next day I went to St. Louis, for the match was going to be before the pay-per-view in St. Louis on Sunday. And believe it or not, met my wife. That's the first time I met her, was at the Avis counter in St. Louis that next day. And I went to go do this. And actually, when I was leaving Eric's office, he said, hey, I know you're just getting cleared, but you better show me something special if you want this.
Oh, man. Oh, wow. That's not right.
Yeah.
No rest for the wicked.
You talk about being nervous. I'll tell you, I've never been so nervous before or since from that point, because I wanted this so bad. You know, you get the opportunity to do something with your idol. I wanted this so bad. I hadn't been in the ring in 6 months. It just was, you know, it was nerve-wracking, but, you know, I had a really good match with Johnny Swinger. And Eric, well, the interesting thing, too, is they didn't want me to do the makeup. They didn't want to chip anything off. I actually wore the Psycho Circus, that clown head shirt.
Oh,
that's the only thing that I wore that represented Kiss at all for that match.
Wow, that's cool. Do you know if there's any video of that?
I don't think there's any video. I know that we took a bit of a quick photo shoot, so there's... I mean, the WWE owns everything now, so there's probably, there might be footage of it somewhere. You know, I'm not really sure. I know that there's, like I said, pictures of it, but one of the things that was crazy is, like I just told you, I was nervous, you know, like I was really amped up, ready to do this thing. I'm walking through the curtain, and Eric grabs me by the arm and pulls me back and says, hey, I want you to do Gene without doing Gene.
Huh.
And then
okay.
Puts me out the curtain.
What?
What does that even mean?
And so I literally said that. I go, in my head, I'm going, what the hell does that mean? Do Gene without doing Gene. Yeah. And in my head, I said, screw it. I can't think about that. I got to go and do this match. And the one thing that's interesting, too, is that I, you know, my knee had been blown out and, you know, dislocated kneecap and all that stuff. That I told Johnny Swinger, if when we do this, the first move we're going to do is we're going to lock up and we're going to push off. I'm going to drop kick it. because if my knee's going to go, it's going to go on the drop kick.
Sure.
And I said, let's not waste anybody's time. If it's going to go, let's do it right away. Oh, and so once I landed the drop kick and everything was fine, then I was good to go from that point.
That is pretty awesome. Yeah, I see. You know, I followed the character from the very beginning, and you know, when I found out that it was you doing it,
well, there was someone else first.
Brian Adams, I thought, was going to be the one that did it, and then
he did it once. Right?
Was it just one time, Dale?
Well, it was two, and I don't know if you guys can mess with Lee's mic at all because I can't hear her.
Okay.
It sounds like she's in another country.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Real muffin.
Can you hear me now?
Again?
Can you hear me now?
A little bit better.
Now.
Okay. All right. Cool. Sorry about that.
No worries. I realized I was talking over Lee a couple times. Kind of
how dare you?
But, Brian, now here's what happened. So after, to kind of continue the story to give you an idea of what transpired. So I had done the match. I'm walking back. I'm pumped up that everything went well. And there's Eric off in the back. And he's standing there waiting for me. And I said, how was that? And he looks at me, dead fan, straight in the face, and says, you got another job you can go to? I'm going to have to.
He said, somebody wants me to be Paul Stanley.
He then cracks a smile and says to me, he goes, no, you did great. You got the gig. Uh-huh. I want you to meet with me on get with my assistant, Janie. Come in the office on Thursday, and let's get all this done. I'm like, I'm ecstatic. You know, made the phone call, say everything went great. I got the gig. So,
and how crazy is that you got a gig doing something with, you know, the band that you grew up with? All of a sudden, that's all it's trying to soak in. That's got to be pretty cool.
It was a dream come true. The dream come true ended up turning into a nightmare because, you know, I end up going, they have me, I don't hear from Eric at all. I don't hear from his assistant, nothing. I'm like, you know, and they had me do the test makeup. You know, I went to Andre, who was in Marietta, actually, the special effects guy. They did a test makeup on me and, you know, the whole nine yards. And so here I am preparing, getting ready for this, and Thursday comes and goes. I don't hear anything. I actually go out to the grand opening of the Nitro Grill out in Vegas, and I see Eric there. And I said to Eric, I said, you still need want to talk to me, you know, about the character and everything. He looks up at me and goes, no.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
Say what?
That was it. That's all he had said, and I'm like, what happened? So then I get a call from Brian Adams, and Brian says, hey, you know, they gave me this character. I said, well, I didn't even know, and I didn't know what happened, and so I got it. Something happened in between, which apparently the story that I heard is that Gene, when he looked at the pictures, pointed me out and said, that's the guy that looks the most like me.
Oh.
And he said, that's the guy. But he goes, I guess he had kind of did some research and saw how big Kane was for the WWE and said, I want somebody as big as Kane. Brian Adams was over 300 pounds.
Right. Yeah, he was a big one. He was a big guy.
Yeah. He was a big one.
Yeah, I mean, he was over 300 pounds. He was about 40 pounds. I was 260, and he was over 40 pounds heavier than me. Mm. So I guess that's when they said, all right, well, we're going to have to give it to Brian. So Brian got the gig, and Brian was one of the nicest people on the planet. Loved the guy. He just, all the respect in the world for me. I thought he was awesome. So I actually went out to Vegas when Kiss did the whole Nitro thing.
Yeah, I remember.
And I tried to help Brian with all the mannerisms. He had no idea anything about Kiss, and so I said, here, this is what Gene does, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Really tried to help him, you know, do the best he can for the gimmick. Mm-hmm. And so he was the one who was debuted, and then the next week in Nassau Coliseum, he came out and said something to Vampiro, not tonight, not now, but soon, something like that. So So a lot of people think that Brian wrestled as the demon. He actually made two appearances and never wrestled as the demon. He never was the guy, the in-ring. I always did all the in-ring stuff, but Brian did the first two appearances. And he had called me when the time came. He said, hey, listen, I just got to let you know. He's like, I'm backing out of the demon character. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. They kind of forced me into this, and I told them that they picked the wrong guy from the start and said that Dale needs to get it. He should have gotten it to begin with. Mm-hmm. He said, WCW is going to be calling you probably within the hour, and sure enough, J.J. Wow. Dillon, or, you know, literally less than an hour later, said, hey, are you interested in doing the demon character? And I just started doing a baseball character that was pretty cool. It was called the MVP, which was baseball, literally Gene, you combine Gene Simmons in the movie The Warriors into one character, and that's where the MVP came from. Wow. And we had to stop that character immediately, and then I went and got refitted, done everything for the character, and that's when I started it up.
Wow. You were great at it too. I mean,
you could tell a big difference because the first guy just wasn't a Kiss fan.
You
could tell such a big difference with Dale.
You would walk out and you would have the mannerisms of the demon. I mean, not necessarily Gene Simmons, but the character. And you know, it would be, you know, even the way you held your mouth or the way you would look. I mean, it was just perfect. And I just remember thinking, this was so much better. You know, what were you going to say, Rick?
Well, I was going to ask him, did they sit down with you or say, we're going to have to give you some signature Kiss title moves, you know, for these upcoming matches, you know, to work out?
It's kind of funny. There wasn't a lot of advice at all. I actually called Gene. And Gene, I got to tell you, Gene was tremendous throughout the entire run of the character. I mean, he used to call me if I needed anything. The longest it ever took him to get back to me was 15 minutes.
Wow.
The longest phone call ever, you know, and he just was absolutely incredible. And I'm going to tell you guys, I appreciate you guys saying that because that does mean a lot to me because I really tried as hard as I could, you know, in this, because a lot of people, the Kiss fans, don't really get it. Here's stuff that some people don't even know, is that that character, right from the get-go, the first night that I'm going to do the character, they tell me, you're doing us a favor, we are going to bury this character to make Eric Bischoff look bad. That's exactly what I was told. And they said, you are doing us a favor, we're going to put you under the face paint, and when this contract is done, for doing this for us, we are going to reward you by pushing you in another character.
Oh, huh.
And I told them, I said, please don't do this. I said, I can make this character work. Please don't do this. And they said, here, you're going to do what we tell you to do. And I said, listen, I can guarantee you I can get this character over. Well, they beat me that first night on the debut match of the Demon.
Right.
That night, they beat me against Terry Funk, and they said, sorry, this is the way it's going to be. And I said, please reevaluate. And I said, let me try to do this. Because I, as a Kiss fan, this is what people, you know, I still get ripped on the internet because of the character, and it doesn't matter. It's neither here nor there. But what people don't understand is I had a chance to bail on the character really, really early in this whole thing. I had a choice, A, not to take it, and I took it because of being a huge Kiss fan. And I could have bailed on it and just done what they said, finished the contract, and been pushed in another character the way they promised me that it would happen. But I kept fighting for the character because of being a Kiss fan. I did not want it embarrassed any more than, you know, they were going to make it look absolutely ridiculous.
Wow.
They were going to make this thing look horrible.
Wow.
And I fought and fought. I got sent home. They sent me home. There was a time you might remember I got sent home for 3 months because I kept fighting for the character, and they basically told me to shut the hell up and go home. And so I got sent home for 3 months for that. And I kept saying, I can do this. And there was a quote on the internet from one of our writers said, we are going to reevaluate the demon character because we cannot figure out. We keep feeding him, can't figure out why they keep hearing him. And so they kind of, that's when, at that point, I was repackaged and put in with Vampiro.
Right, Vampiro.
And that whole Vampiro angle.
Right, he was a juggalo.
So, you know, he what?
He was a juggalo.
Yes. Yeah, and they literally had heat with Gene. It was with Kiss, but the same time, obviously, I guess they didn't really.
Right. They're anti-Kiss. They're anti-Kiss.
They're anti-everything.
Yeah.
I don't think you can make those guys happy.
So, you know, that's kind of behind-the-scenes stuff of what really happened. And in turn, to go back to your question was, you know, I called Gene and... It's actually kind of funny, too. One of the things I was used to get ripped on was like, this guy is stupid. He doesn't even know how to do Gene's makeup. And I want to go, wait a minute. I've been doing this since the pain in my face with Gene since I was 5 years old. I can tell you all the different ways that Gene did the makeup. The makeup, that one wing that came down lower on my cheek,
right,
was an accident on the actual, the first time I did it, Andre did it, and it was longer on that one side. And Gene said, I like that, and told me to keep that.
That's cool.
So that he wanted it enough. He wanted the essence of the demon character, but he didn't want, he told me flat out, I don't want a clone of me. You know, that's what they do, you know, tribute fans and everything will do exactly what I do on stage. He's like, I don't want that. He goes, I want you to take the essence of the demon and make it how you would make it. He goes, I like the difference in the face paint. I put the blonde streaks in my hair.
The blonde streaks, I was going to say.
What was that?
I was going to ask about the blonde streaks, yes.
The blonde streaks, that was the exact, I took them out later, but early on, what we were trying to do is that if you saw a picture of Gene and you saw a picture of the demon, you would know there were some distinct differences, and that was the point. We didn't want to make the costumes identical. That's why they were black and red. Like, everything was actually done for a purpose, where people thought that I was just an idiot and didn't know what Kiss looked like for Gene and what the color schemes and the outfit. And we knew all of that. We knew everything. We actually, it was a decision that we purposely made to separate the demon from Gene Simmons. And so that when you looked at it, go, oh, that's the wrestler, that's the rock guy. So there was definitely a distinct difference. So that was what we, you know, we thought of ahead of time, and that's why we did it.
I want to ask, if I can, because I know both the original demon and you both breathed fire. Did someone have to teach you to do that? Was that a skill you had somehow already attained? How did that come into the fold?
Everything seems like there's a good story attached to it, too.
Because there is.
There was that whole angle with Vampiro and Sting, and there was fire, fire, fire. And I called WCW, and I said, hey, I see this whole angle between the two of them. I go, you're going to want me to breathe fire at some point. And, you know, Bryan Adams never did the fire thing, and in the very beginning, we didn't do any of the fire breathing. And I said, would you want me to learn how to do this? Because if you do, and you see this happening, let me go learn how to do it now so I'm good at doing this when the time is right. And they're like, oh, yeah, well, we'll let you know. We don't think so. No. And I'm like, okay. Well, it was a Friday night, about 6 o'clock, and my wife walked out. I was out five, and my wife walked out and said, hey, WCW is on the phone. And it was one of our executive producers, and he said, hey, you ready for Monday? And I'm like, yeah. I think it was in Richmond. And I said, yeah, what do you mean? Like, normal Monday night show. And he's like, okay, so you can do it. I go, what can I do? And I said, oh, no one's contacted you? And I said, about what? He said, you're breathing fire on Vampiro on Monday night.
On Vampiro. You're breathing fire on Vampiro.
On Vampiro on Monday night. And wow. I said, yo. I said, nobody ever told me this. And they said, but do you know how to do it? And I said, no, I don't know how to do it. And I said, don't you remember me calling you guys and asking if you have any thought at all of me doing this? Do you want me to go learn? And so literally, they said, can you learn how to do it? And I go, Regine's got to be the one to teach me. And they said, can you get Regine and find out if he can teach you? And I said, well, let me see. So I hung up with them. I called Gene, and I gotta think of the exact way. I said, Gene, I go, where are you guys right now? He said, we're in Boston tonight. And I said, well, where are you Sunday? And he said, Sunday we're off. And I said, he goes, why? And I said, well, they want me to learn how to breathe fire. He goes, for when? I said, Monday. And he goes, are you kidding me? And I said, no. And I go, where are you guys tomorrow? And he said, well, we're in Jones Beach in New York. And he said, that's the only time I can show you. And he goes, can you get there? If you can get there, I'll show you how to do it. And so literally, I called WCW back, and 12 hours later, I was on a flight. At 6 a.m., I was on a flight to Jones Beach and went backstage. And it was kind of cool because I met Gene's mom for the first time. And, ooh, you know,
that's really cool.
That was kind of cool. But Gene and Spiro, Gene's assistant, and, you know, a lot of everybody.
Yeah, we know who Spiro is.
Yeah,
so everyone knows who Spiro is. The two of them taught me how to breathe fire in the bathroom, one of the backstage bathrooms, the cement bathroom.
Nice.
In Jones Beach.
Wow.
Now, how long did it take you to get comfortable with breathing fire?
Well,
never.
They showed me a couple times, and it was, I probably did it. They showed me, and they said, you want to try it. They had me practice with water first to get the spray down. And then I said, well, let's just try it. We'll see what happens. But, there were some really cool things that were interesting is that I didn't know, here you have flammable stuff in your mouth. That if you miss the flame or if you hit it wrong, it actually puts it out. Yeah. And I had no idea you could do that. Huh. And so that was kind of, that kind of messed with my mind a little bit. But one of the things is you guys being Kiss fans and myself, when Gene used to walk around with the torch, I always thought that was meant as, just playing it up for, get people pumped up for, here it comes.
The anticipation.
But Gene told me that's not what he's doing. Gene, every arena, every venue has different air patterns.
Yep.
And what he's trying to do is make sure that the flame isn't coming back towards him. And he's trying to find the one spot where it's straight up and down. And so that's why you'll see him walk around, and then he'll find a spot, and he'll stand and breathe fire real quick because he found the spot to get to. And that's, so that's why he walked around and did that.
Nice.
Was your inner child just freaking out having Gene Simmons teach you
to breathe fire?
It was wild, man. It was, it was to do it in front of, I went and did it live on, learned how to do it on a Saturday, didn't practice Sunday, did it live in front of millions of people on Monday. And one of the coolest things, I still think about this, is that I did the fire breathing thing, and after the show, I get a call, and it was a block call, and I answered it, and it was Gene, and said, hey, we went on the bus to watch you do this. To see you do it.
Wow. Oh, man.
He goes, I cannot believe you did that. He goes, I can't believe you did that. He goes, I practiced for years before I did it live on stage. And he goes, you just did that in front of millions of people. I can't believe you did that.
Wow, that is an awesome story.
It's so cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
So, I had another question for you. I know that you have a professional baseball background as well. And I actually last night I watched an ESPN story they did on you, and your father was in the story, and it was really interesting. Did you happen to see today that a baseball player celebrated, I think, a walk-off homer by wearing Gene Simmons mask?
No, I didn't see that at all.
I think he was with
the Rays.
The Rays, yeah.
Yeah, I saw that this morning.
Yeah, and I thought of you immediately, and I was like, this is so funny. that this guy, I mean, he came right out of the dugout wearing a Gene nice. Simmons mask, high-fiving everybody, and I was like, this, it's just, like, so bizarre.
Well, you know, the other thing I was going to say, if you think about this, this is kind of an interesting twist, is Dale would really be considered the first person in history that started out a sports, character or working with a franchise.
Right, sure.
Because after that, there's been NASCAR, and now recently, L.A. Kiss, the new, arena football that Gene and Paul just recently acquired. So, that's got to be kind of cool that you have kind of worked your way in from being the Demon in WCW, and now Kiss has went all the way into being into the arena football business.
Which, Dale, you're involved in, right?
Yeah, and I mean, in a strange way, if it wasn't for me, good or bad, how people see it, I think it's cool when Chip does anything. If you don't like it, you don't watch it or don't buy it, it's fine. I mean, I'm the type to put out, do whatever they want to do, and we get the choice and we get the vote on what we like or don't like.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm pumped about it, but it's kind of strange how that arena team came about, because there's a DJ in Orlando, great guy. He's got the Monsters in the Morning, Russ Rollins, who is a huge Kiss fan. Huge Kiss fan, great guy. We've been friends for a long time. And his buddy, that we got to know, was the owner of the Orlando Predators arena team. And I was contacted by the guy, Brett Bushy. And for people now who know that name, Brett is the one that started the LA Kiss with Gene, Paul, and Doc. So Brett contacted me and said, hey, man, can you do me a favor? We want to have for the Arena Bowl is going to be in Orlando this year, and we want to make a big weekend out of it. Can you get Kiss to play a concert at halftime for the Arena Bowl?
Wow.
And so
that's quite a task.
And what was that?
That's quite a task.
Yeah, I reached out to a couple people, and one being Keith LaRue, and Keith LaRue was one of the people responsible for kind of bringing this to Doc and trying to put this whole thing together for this arena weekend. And so literally, we were all behind the scenes trying to get this set up for this arena bowl, and that's how it all happened, that this connection was made, and then the idea came about for the football team, and now there's LA Kiss. So I actually did the coin toss, because we were supposed to do this whole wrestling thing after the Arena Bowl, and so I was in full Demon regalia, and I thought of Lee because I had a top design with Gene Hotter Than Hell Skull and Crossbones top. So I did that for the Arena
yes.
Bowl.
Awesome.
And I did the coin toss and held up the helmet and took pictures with the helmet, and then got to watch the game. My wife and daughter and I got to watch the game with the band and their suite and everything, and they were tremendous. So I kind of was the one that got everybody connected.
Wow, that's really awesome.
Really cool.
I'm excited right. about it because I'm a big football fan, and I'm just hoping that I know that during arena football season it gets televised. Is this something that's going to happen? It's going to be on TV for everybody to watch around the country, or is that something that you've got to be there for?
I know that the Arena League, they want to branch out because apparently, I don't know exact numbers, but this is what I heard, that they did over 1 million views more for this Arena Bowl because of Chip playing the halftime show. They did 1 million views more than they did the year before for the Arena Bowl.
Wow.
So I think this is starting to be a more high-profile deal that I'm sure, knowing Brett Bushy and that he's in a sense, he's somewhat of the Kiki Barnum of the Arena League, that he really likes to do, more entertaining things, that I think I'm sure he's trying to work on TV deals and that kind of thing. And if, you know, people kind of laugh at it, but if the Tim Tebow thing comes to fruition, you know, I guarantee you that the games will be televised if you're going to have Tim Tebow. And I don't personally think it's that far-fetched. I mean, I know Tebow wants to do his NFL career, but at the same time, if that falls through, and you're in a LA market, and this could be, you know, and there are guys that have gone from the Arena Bowl back to the NFL or to the NFL.
Sure, sure, so like Kurt Warner.
It's not far-fetched. Yeah, so you know what happens. That you can have your career rejuvenated, and there's no better market than LA, and you know, with KISS, and it could be huge.
Sure, I'm actually one of those people that I can't figure out why he's not on a team anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy.
It's insane in the way you could be so popular, go to the Super Bowl and then not get picked up. But if he plays for KISS, I think that would be such a great. I mean. You know,
it's got contrast written all on it, and that's what the paper wants. And, you know, even just the remarks that Gene was making as it was making its rounds, you know, it had the internet all abuzz just about the fact that, you know, they wanted to reach out to Tim. And, you know, and just the fact that, you know, KISS is a rock band and Tim Tebow, he created Tebowing. So, you know,
absolutely.
Sure. Hey, I wanted to ask you something else. You were on the first KISS cruise, weren't you?
Yes.
Did you enjoy that?
It was awesome. It was very cool. I was contacted about going on it and making an appearance, you know, as the Demon, and it was myself and Edge. Edge is a big KISS fan as well.
Right.
So Edge. It was myself, my wife, and Edge. We all went on that cruise, and we did the appearance and everything, and it was awesome. I'll tell you, man, I had so much fun. My wife and I, we talked about part of why we had so much fun, to be honest with you, because I've known the guys, you know, growing up in New Jersey, I've known the guys from Skid Row I've known Snake for 20 years.
And, sure, that's cool.
Wow. So with them being on the cruise, and it just was an absolutely phenomenal time. The unmatched acoustic set was tremendous, and then we actually went to both shows, and you know they played some different songs, and it was it was awesome. In a sense, we almost don't want to do it again because it was so much fun the first time that you're like, well, okay, just leave this memory as it is. And right. I've had scheduling conflicts as well during that time the last couple of years. So, but I'll tell you what, if you haven't gone, it's a great time, really great time. And the guys that I think it's Six Men, or the company that puts it on. That's a great job.
Right. I actually was on the first two cruises, and I had a really funny story that I wanted to. I'm sure that, you know, you were busy and you don't really remember it, but I was walking through where everybody, you know, ate, you know, not one of the dine-in, but like the buffet type area. And you and Edge were sitting down eating, and there was like two or three kids standing there just like staring at the both of you. It was so funny, and I just sat and watched to see y'all's reaction to them, you know. And to these kids, it didn't even matter that they were on the boat for KISS. It was that they were looking at you and Edge sitting there, and you could tell they were big wrestling fans. And I remember Edge going, "So you're a KISS fan?" And the kid didn't say anything, and then he went, "So is your parents KISS fan?" And the kid didn't say anything. And Edge was like, "Well, certainly somebody in your cabin's a KISS fan, right?" I was just like, it was really funny.
Weren't you sitting across from us? You were by the window, and we were by the buffet.
No, I never actually talked to you guys at that point. I was walking by.
Joe was actually one of those kids staring at you.
Yeah, they just... Those kids were so nice, but they were in awe that they couldn't say anything.
I was absolutely
speechless, and we just kept talking to him, trying to say, "It's okay, you know, you can." I honestly, he was more in awe. You know, here's WWE superstar Ed sitting eating a sandwich at a table in the restroom. he was stunned, and Ed was, I mean, he was tremendously nice to this kid, and we just talked to them and you know, signed some stuff for him, and they were just absolutely thrilled. And, you know, honestly, it sounds somewhat cliche, but that's the best part, when you see a kid that is just in awe of somebody like that, and you're able to, you know, make that, you know, even like you said, that, okay, it was a Kiss cruise, how much are they really Kiss fans? That's probably the memory that this kid's going to walk away with and tell his buddies, that he got to hang out with Edge on the cruise.
Yeah, it actually happened to me. I was getting money out of the ATM. Everybody was making their way, I guess, to the top, and I got my money. I turned around, and he was standing right behind me, and I was like, holy crap. And he was super nice, and he was like, hey, and he took a picture with me, and I said, I swear I'm not going to ask for any autographs or anything. You're on vacation. Can I just get a picture? And he was like, hell yeah. And I was – and I, you know, I told him that I saw his last match at WrestleMania. I just so you know, and everybody's sitting here kind of giggling at me, but when I'm totally fanboying out. In the wrestling business, they call it marking out. And I was like, I'm totally talking to Dale Torborg about wrestling.
Would you like us to leave?
No, we're good there.
Joe has on a wrestling mask while he's doing this interview, actually.
But
he looks like Mr. Wrestling Number Two.
It's so funny. It's like Dave, who's doing our recording today. We would actually sit on the phone and watch wrestling together,
nice.
and talk about wrestling. That's how big of fans we are. And
what you doing?
Hey, Dave, did you have any questions or anything like that? No, he's like, no questions. Well, you know, something Lee brought up. New Kiss dolls.
Yeah, Dale. We were talking earlier about those new Kiss dolls, the Figures Toy Company.
Dress to Kill.
The Dress to Kill figures.
All right, as the other guys that are, you know, here listening right now, they're action figures. They're not dolls.
Oh, that's right.
I'm a girl.
So, they're action figures.
I'm a girl.
Actually, they're inaction figures, but inaction figures nevertheless.
So Lee, I guess you can call them dolls. I guess. But
that's right.
For us, we gotta man them up a little.
Okay,
bit.
I get it.
Right.
They're wearing suits, for God's sake. They're not dolls.
Yeah, they're wearing suits.
Well, here's how this thing all came about. You know, the guys that are doing these things are very cool guys. The Figures Toy guys asked me to, you know, be a consultant on all these action figures. And they'll send me the pictures of prototypes. They'll send me, you know, they'll ask me what costume should we do? How does this need to be changed? What's missing here? You know, and I'll look at all the pictures. I'll, you know, like even the first album figures that they did, you know, that they, Gene's makeup, the first one they did, when they send it over to the factory comes back with these things. I'm like, it's completely backwards. Oh. The back wings on the bottom, like on Gene's cheek, they're going the wrong direction. I'm like, no, they got to go like this. I had to redraw it. You know, put dots around the picture, and arrows going, this is going the wrong direction. You need to do this. And we did the Peter's makeup, you know, that's the way that Peter's makeup was on the first record.
The red on it.
You know, we wanted to come up with some different things. And I know that one of the set figures, the Sonic Boom figures, people were making, these look cheap and all that. Well, the idea of the Sonic Boom ones were, what would Mego figures look like of Sonic Boom? Like of this era, you know, this time in history, this right now, Sonic Boom, if Mego were around today, what would it look like? And that's what those figures were for. That's what they were meant to look like, of going, they were kind of like the 78 version of the Migos of today. Then the next ones, you know, you started to see the rubber boots. You saw a monster that Gene's costume was all sculpted and all that kind of stuff. And that was, okay, we did what we think Mego, what they would look like now. Now we're going, okay, now we're going to start doing more and more stuff and really do more sculpted pieces. And, you know, every time you sculpt on it, it's very expensive. Anybody that's in that business knows it's very expensive to do these things. tooling and doing the heads and all that kind of stuff. So now, fast forward to what's going on right now with the Dress to Kill figures. Mm-hmm. You know, we originally were sitting around trying to figure out, you know, what are we going to do with the Dress to Kill? And it was, you know, did we do the what the fans want, the what the suits look like? And people know that the whole story that they were Bill O'Brien suits and everything that these guys were wearing. Mm-hmm. So that photo shoot from Dress to Kill, if you go back and look at some of the old magazines and photo, the pictures of them in the subway and changing like Superman, and you see the color suits, you see that Peter suit was blue. You see that jeans was gray with or tannish with blue socks and a yellow polka dotted tie. And so what we did was we said, well, grayscale is what they did to cover. So it's all of it looks like every suit was black or gray and a grayscale. So we're like, that's the iconic image. And one of my favorite images of this is the Dress to Kill cover. So that's why all of them were done in grayscale. But then with the two variants, we decided that jeans and tears were the only two that were really significantly different. So instead of releasing the whole set of, you know, with the actual colors, so that basically by doing Gene and Peter, those are the two variants that actually are the right colors.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah, right.
But then, I remember.
The heads were done. This guy, Danny, I actually hooked Danny up. I told the guys at Peter, I've never seen anybody sculpt the way this guy, Danny Farrow, does the sculpting. So that, the image, the prototype image, the original one, were all of Danny's heads. And then the ones that just came out were the first prototype back. And the hair is going to be different when they're released. The hair will be different from what I'm told. It's supposed to be more like the hair style that Danny did. So that was coming back from the factory. And the tough part is when you have a guy that sculpts it as well as Danny does, when you do a mass of something, you're going to lose some of, there's a purpose, you know, lose like a generation as you kind of create a mass of them. So that's kind of why it looks a little bit different.
Okay, because the prototypes were just hand done, right? The hair was hand placed.
Yeah, that was his, those were handmade, yeah.
Okay.
So, that's why some of the detail is a little different,
right?
Because it comes from a factory.
Gotcha.
Do you know if they have any plans to do any other, you know, like they did the Sonic Boom and Monster and then Dress to Kill? They did the Love Gun, I believe, this company.
I would love to have a Peter Criss in the green costume from Dynasty with the lion heads.
Or like the Spirit of 76, like. Make like a little diorama of that with them, you know. With
sure,
them, you know, that'd be cool.
Now you're getting carried away.
Not really. I mean,
no, people will buy them. You know,
I'll buy them, but yeah. I'm just saying.
We've been coming up with a lot of different ideas, and I know that, you know, there's definitely plans for more, and I know there, you know, I can't really. This is one of those things I can't really tell you, but I've seen the pictures of the next round and. They're pretty damn cool.
Awesome.
Oh
man, what's that website again? Is it Figures Toy Company?
Yeah, Figures Toy Company. Okay. And you know, one of the things that they try to do is, you know, these guys are, you know, they're really for people that, they're kind of the perfect niche for me. These guys, they're releasing the 1966 Batman, and they're into the Migos, and that was the stuff as a kid. Migos were my favorite, and then Batman was my favorite TV show with Adam West.
Nice.
So this is, you know, I was a big Evel Knievel fan, and
right.
Mr. Hazard, and they're doing all these figures. And
cool.
The one thing that they really try to do with Anthony and the guys at Figures, they really want to do these as the best they possibly can. This isn't just like, yeah, we're going to slap some things together. We sit and really talk about how they want me to, you know, pick these things apart when they go, here's the prototype, pick everything apart and to the minutest detail and see what they can change and make them as dead on as they possibly can. And by having Danny come aboard, it's the heads are going to be better and better as these progress, because he's absolutely amazing when he sculpts these things.
Lee wants the Partridge Family and the bus action figure line.
Keith was so dreamy.
No, I would like to see Podcast Rock City action figures.
What was that?
I'd like to see Podcast Rock City action figures. Us just all sitting around with headphones and mics.
Well, you know, the thing is that's crazy. You actually can do it now. The son, the guy that owns the figure store company, the son, Tony, he's got myfaceonafigure.com where you actually can, it's kind of crazy.
Wow.
How you can take a three-dimensional head, a picture of a face, and it makes a three-dimensional head. And
I'm looking at that website right now.
and you can make them. You can actually have figures made.
Oh my God!
I need to be cool. An action figure. That would be awesome.
Oh my God,
that's pretty cool. Go ahead.
Check out my face on a figure, and I'll see if I can work a deal for you guys to get it done.
Oh, that would be awesome. Just in time for Christmas.
Do you know if I know that the WWE releases figures and stuff like that from wrestlers that were in the WCW or the WWE or even ECW. Do they own the rights to be able to put something out? Because I've never seen one, and I was always like, if I was in the WWE, I'd go, how to sell a million dolls to Kiss fans, put out a Demon Wrestler one, and I've never seen it. And is that because Kiss, with the makeup, or is that just because they don't think it'll sell?
All right. Here's the deal. I'm going to tell you exactly how the whole thing behind the scenes went down. Back when we were doing, when the Demon, part of the problem that happened with the Demon, or why it didn't succeed as much as we all would have loved it to. I wouldn't change a thing, first of all. If you told me you have to go through exactly the same thing, would you do it again? Absolutely, I'll do it again. I mean, it was a thrill to represent Kiss, and you got to take the good with the bad, and so I would definitely do the whole thing again. But some of the problems that happened was the deal that Eric Bischoff made was the big cause of any of this problem of why the Demon character had the things that people like to make fun of, was all really because of Eric. Jumping the gun, wanted to steal something away from Vince, and made a terrible deal. And the merchandise part of a lot of what WCW made their money on was merchandise. Well, the way that Eric did the deal, he didn't really care. He just wanted to win the ratings. He wanted to, steal this away from Vince, and this was his big deal. Well, he really did a terrible deal. Merchandising deal with Gene. And Gene, was given this and he took it. Well, they weren't going to do any merchandise for me at all. None. That was the problem, because they weren't going to make any money. I actually was flown from Florida to Vancouver to do the video game, took all the pictures, did everything, and then they yanked me from the game because they were afraid that Gene would get the lion's share of the money for the game. They just were terrified of that, any type of deal. So I got yanked from the video game, which cost, that cost me a lot of money.
I always wanted that too. I always had those games.
Video game, all that kind of stuff. But no merchandise was done. So I literally, and this is how cool Gene was about the whole thing. We were in Tampa at one of the shows in Tampa backstage, and I'm talking to Gene about it. And I said, hey, I just want to let you know, one of the main problems is the merchandise. I go, they don't want to push this character because you own too much of the merchandise rights. And he said, seriously? And I said, yeah. And he goes, that's fine. He goes, I don't really care. He goes, have them call me on Monday. He said,
wow.
We will talk to the attorneys. We will change the deal in order for them to make more of the money. That's completely fine with me. Just have them call me Monday. And people always want to rip Gene about this and that. I'm telling you, Gene was so great for trying to get this stuff done. And literally said for them to call. So on Monday, I went to the people at WCW and I said, listen, he's going to change the deal. You just need to call him, have our attorneys call his attorneys. You know they never did. WCW never. I'm going to tell you a few things in this today that really no one's heard of before. That WCW fumbled the ball, and they were scared of really rocking the boat and, you know, talking to Gene's attorney and all that kind of stuff, and that literally they never called Gene to change the deal. So yeah. That's my action figures T-shirt. Nothing was ever made.
I still have my Demon T-shirt, though.
Yeah, well, it's sad that I had to have that made up.
Yeah.
And there's another Bree story. Lee was responsible for one of the shirts that I wore all the time on that one of the Expo shirts with the Gene booth. Lee was the one who gave it. She actually gave me two. Yep. One got ripped up in a match outside in Billings, Montana with Vampiro. And then the other one I still have. But that was the Lee actually gave those to me.
Yeah, that was the Nashville Kiss Expo.
Yep. So you're with me on a
awesome.
Lot of those WCW.
Wow, that is just awesome.
Yeah, right.
And then we were on the fan club show together.
I was about to ask about that.
Yeah.
We were on there. We were on there together. And you brought up something in the very beginning, and I'll tell you a quick behind-the-scenes story on this one. You brought up the match against Sting, and it was probably the pay-per-view that people still give me, you know, they're saying, you got beaten in a minute. Well, I'm going to tell you, this is stuff that people don't know. So that match, I think, was in Vancouver, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm wrestling, and the whole idea is I was under, quote-unquote, under the spell of Vampiro. I said, we want to turn you into a good guy and do more stuff with Sting. I'm like, okay, that's cool. We're going to have Sting beat you really quick to knock you out of the spell of Vampiro. And I said, all right. But I go, can we do something creative, please? Can we do something creative with this? I go, because everybody and their mother, Sting's coming back, everybody and their mother, there's not one person on this entire planet that thinks I'm going to beat Sting. Not one. I mean, you have to be an idiot to think that I'm going to beat Sting. And I was being honest with them. I said, let's do something creative here. And so I got Sting, and I said, Sting, are you cool? Let's try to come up with something. And he's like, yeah, dude, let's think about it. He goes, think about it, let me know, and if I like it, I'll put my stamp on it. We'll see what we can do. I said, okay. So I came up with this concept where, you know, I'm going to get knocked out of the spell of Vampiro. And there was that whole fire and gasoline and fire and all that stuff with Sting and Vampiro. Well, what we were going to do is I was going to have a match with Vampiro, with Sting. And at one point, Vampiro comes out from under the ring with a gas can. Sting's going to do the scorpion splash on me in the corner. I move, Vamp hits him with a gas can. And Sting's going to fall backwards in the middle of the ring. Bam gives me the gas can. And I start pouring gas on Vampiro, Sting in the middle of the ring. They give me the torch, and I'm going to light Sting up on fire right in the middle of the ring. Right when I'm about to do it, the pyro hits, and God of Thunder starts playing. But this time, it's not my entrance music. It's Gene.
Oh.
And Gene actually cut the promo on me and said, I didn't raise you like this. You are not going to do this. And then the whole time, Vampiro is yelling at me, going, do it, do it, do it. And at some, Gene makes his way all the way to the ring. He says, for me to pick up Sting, I pick Sting up and walk out with him. And then right there, I should have been made a babyface. And okay, Gene just, you know, called my father, you know, the real God of Thunder just, you know, tongue lash me. No pun intended. So, you know, that's how I pitched it.
Man,
they loved it. I called Gene and said, Gene, would you be willing to come and do this in Vancouver? And he goes, I love it. He goes, you have them call me. I'm there.
Again, without you having them call me.
And, of course, I pitched the whole thing to WCW. They never called Gene.
Oh, and then what wound up happening was you get pinned. You walk out past them while they're getting beat up by Chronic, I think it was, right?
Yeah, well, that got all screwed up, too. In the actual way that was supposed to be done, the reason why it was so short, it was supposed to be quick in-ring. But what happened was, the idea of this is all done live, and, you know, there's mistakes done on live TV all the time. So this is what really happened there, too. The way that was supposed to happen was I was supposed to come out. Sting's music was so that Seek and Destroy was supposed to start playing. It went through once, and he doesn't come out. So I get out of the ring, and I'm going to be smart, and I'm going to sucker punch him when he comes out of the curtain. So I'm supposed to, when it plays the full time, and it starts up again, I get out of the ring, and I'm going to make my way up the ramp. Well, Sting repels from the ceiling. He was supposed to, as soon as I passed a certain spot, they were supposed to drop the rope, and he was going to rappel and tap me on the shoulder and start kicking the crap out of me right there. And that's what was supposed to happen. So when I'm in the ring, Sting's music hits, and within like the first five notes of Seek and Destroy, the rope drops. And I literally turn to the ref and I go, am I not supposed to see that? I go, everybody sees that. And I go, I'm literally in my head going, what the hell am I supposed to do here? They screwed this whole time up. Now, I'm like, whatever. As soon as he starts rappelling, I charge him, and we jump-started the match. But that got screwed up by a good minute or two on how it was supposed to, that's why it was so short. It was literally supposed to be another minute or two before we even did anything in the ring. And that's a behind the scenes that nobody knows either.
Wow, that's a really great story. Thank you for that. Anybody have any other questions?
I do. I wanted to ask about the fan club thing that you and Lee are both featured on. Was that done? How did you get involved with that? Was that in any way to promote the character of the demon, or was that a genuine, you just wanted to be, you know, featured on this show like Lee?
Yeah, I didn't even know. We didn't know each other was going to be on there, I don't think, until later.
Yeah, because I don't think I think you had moved already.
Maybe. Yeah, I'd already been. I moved to Florida. Yeah. VH1 ended up, I think I was in Oklahoma when we were doing a Monday night show. And I was backstage, and our PR girl, Donna Seaman, came up to me and said, hey, I got VH1 wants to talk to you. Are you interested in doing, they got a new show about fans of bands, and they have this new show called Fan Club about Kiss. You have, she goes, I know you're a true Kiss fan, but they want to know if you are. And I said, yeah. And they said, do you want to talk to the producers? And I said, sure. And she literally called them. I was in full makeup, sitting on the road case and talking to the producer, and she's asking me all the questions of this fan. And she was super nice. Lee, you remember how nice that lady was?
Oh, yeah, Christine?
Yeah, she was awesome. And yeah. She actually ended up, directed The Girl Next Door.
Oh, wow, okay. Yeah, they were really nice.
Yeah. Yeah, she was so nice. And so... She ended up asking me all these questions. She said, you know, are you a Kiss fan? Do you have memorabilia? And I'm like, oh, yeah. And then tell me about you being a Kiss fan. And I explained the whole thing of how what I've said for forever. That 5 years old, my older brother brought home the Destroyer record, and I was literally hooked at the image on the front cover. And then I started listening. I would start stealing when they went home. I'd start stealing the records, and... You know, that's when I really got into him, and she realized, you know, I knew my Kiss trivia. She goes, you definitely are a real Kiss fan. This doesn't have anything to do with the character, does it? I said, well, you know, I wanted to do the character because I'm a huge Kiss fan, so it's a perfect fit. So that's when I got the, everyone thinks that I just got it because of being the demon character. It just was, you know, for TV, it was good TV, good visuals of, you know, in-ring stuff, and you know, putting our face paint on and all that. So, you know, I was pumped to do it, and I know that Lee and I had fun doing that. It was really cool when I saw that Lee was on it, and, mm-hmm. you know, here we we had this history of Atlanta before we ever did any of this stuff, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, see, I had to go through the whole submitting my video and getting chosen out of, I don't know how many people probably submitted stuff.
Rick actually
took my video.
Right, yeah, yeah. That was great to hear when Rick was like, I'm the one that filmed that. Yeah. And I was like,
so I got chosen out of I don't know how many. That was a blast. What a great memory that was.
Yeah. That's
cool. That was awesome. And I tell you what, I think that Lee was responsible for something that I haven't even spoken to Lee about this before, but I really believe because of that VH1 thing, I think Lee is responsible from one line that she said for all of this stuff that happens now, the meet and greet and taking pictures with the band and makeup, because Lee said one thing in that video, said to have a picture with all four guys in makeup, it's like the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
And I really, in my heart, I believe that struck a chord with somebody, whether it was Gene or somebody, and saying, you know what, that is probably huge. Let's do something. Because I think that caused the meet and greet was the reason.
We need to get a lawyer.
Yeah. I did end up getting my picture, but, you know.
So you should have got.
Yeah, you did.
He should have let you do it for free.
Yeah. Hey, well, Dale. Thank you very much for doing this. We really appreciate it. It's been very interesting.
You're our first guest too, so we do appreciate
it. I'm honored that I was your first guest.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Hey, is there anywhere you're going to be like appearing that people can see you? At a ball game or at a wrestling event or at a Kiss Expo?
LA Kiss, game?
You know, I'm not even sure. You know, I have not, I really don't do the demon thing that often anymore. I get asked to do it all the time on wrestling conventions and autograph signings and things of that nature. But I really don't, I don't really do it that often anymore. It's kind of got to be more of a special thing. The funny thing is how time has passed is that I'm getting more and more that people are asking. I don't know if it's the nostalgia thing that I've, crossed over into the nostalgia of
your vintage
wrestling
now.
Or not. But it's funny that people want to see the demon character and me in full getup again, which is, it's an honor for me to anytime.
You're a cult figure.
Face paint on and do it. So you never know. You never say never about wrestling and doing that kind of thing. But as of right now, I don't have anything planned.
Okay.
Hey, well, cool. Well, thank you very much. We definitely appreciate it. And hopefully we'll get to have you on again when something else. If ever there's anything that comes up that you want to talk about, just let Lee know. And we'll bring you on because you were amazing. And we really do appreciate it.
Thanks, Dale.
I appreciate the time.
All right. Thank you, Dale.
Bye,
thanks,
Dale.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap up Podcast Rock City. Catch us on www.podcastrockcity.com, Facebook, Podomatic. Catch us on iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, and Twitter. We're everywhere. You can't
We're
do
everywhere.
Without us. So, thanks a lot for everybody for listening to Podcast Rock City. Thanks again for Dale, the Demon Tour Board, for being our very first guest and popping our cherry on Podcast Rock City. We'll see you next time. Thanks a lot, everybody.
Rock.
I'm Rick.
I'm Joe.
I'm Lee.
Trey.
I'm Lee.
I'm the Goddess of Thunder.
And that's Dave. So we'll see you guys next time. Thank you.
That's right, Kiss Army. We're having a rock and roll party, and you are invited. Tune into the Strange Ways Kiss Podcast and hang out with your Kiss Army brothers, Jody Habnock, Clinton Harris, and D-Rock.
Hi,
join us where we celebrate and discuss the gods of thunder. That's Strange Ways Kiss Podcast. You can find us on Facebook or Podomatic.com. We'll see you there.
Sometimes you don't sound like you're kidding. You know, there's a lot of people around.
Honey, I'm only kidding with you. We're having a party. I mean, I just came home. I haven't seen you in a long time, and I'm breaking your balls, and you're right away, you're getting fucking fresh. I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend you.
I'm sorry, too. It's okay. No problem.
Okay, salut.
I'll go home and get your fucking
goddamn crazy nights.
History Science Theater. We bust balls because we care. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and all over the place.